verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Appreciate you joining us. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now think about that statement for a minute. And I want to come up just a little bit. He's talking about blasphemy in 31 and 32. And 32, he probably nails it pretty clearly that if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you will not be forgiven in this world nor in that world to come. That is clear. And that what, by the way, that is what made Paul the chief of sinners. You understand? According to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, according to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul could never be forgiven. He'd have been in trouble. You understand? By that statement alone, Paul could never get saved. That's why he makes such an example of grace. Y'all understand? That's a very important part. That's not what I want to talk to you about, but I want to nail this thought in your mind. Go to 1 Timothy. And I'm feeling pretty good tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer. Does anybody know where he blasphemed the Holy Ghost? Seven. But good guess. Acts 7, 54 through 60. He was sitting there consenting unto Stephen's death, and Stephen was dying full of the Holy Ghost, and Paul was contradicting and blaspheming, which means now he's in deep, what?
Trouble.
Doo-doo. Deep doo-doo. Okay? Because now what does he do? There's nothing he can be forgiven. In fact, go back to the statement in Matthew for a minute. Hold on to Timothy. We're going to turn back and forth. Go to Matthew chapter 12 again. Verse 32. And whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven unto him. But whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, nor in the world to what? I mean, there's no way that this man, either in this world, or in that which was to come. You got it? Can't be forgiven. When Paul got saved, I'm sure the Lord let him know that. Don't you think? Since he mentions it here in Timothy, go back to 1 Timothy. I tell you guys, it's absolutely amazing, this incredible book. This is not just some piece of literature put together. This book is the handwriting of Almighty God. I don't think people have the respect for it like they should. Larry was asking me about the Quran. About that burning of the Quran thing. I got to tell you a story. You know, my dad always told me not to try to piss off someone that's already mad. I had to teach my son that at about 7 or 8. I don't know how old he was, Jonathan, while he was still alive. We were driving in Birmingham. We had just picked up the car he was about to die in, and I had to take it back to Birmingham to get something done. And he was riding with me, and we bought it from Jim Burke, Chrysler in Birmingham. So we're driving up the way, and this little sports car, you know, these little, it's the crotch rockets of cars. You know, like Civics, and they deuce them up, and, you know, little Mazda 6s, and, you know, meh. And so they're weaving in and out of traffic. And so we finally get stopped, and this guy's next to me, and I roll down the window and said, guys, if you'll just slow it down, we'll get there at the exact same time. I said, you know, just, you know, there's no reason to race. We ended up, you passed me 12 times. You get up, you get caught in the other lane, then you swing around again. And I said, if you'll just lay back, we'll all make it. Rolled up my window, and we started going. The next thing I know, there's a guy hanging out from his waist with a baseball bat swinging at my lights. And so my son, with all of his wisdom and stuff at 7 or 8, says, "Dad, flip him off! Flip him off!" And I'm like, "Where did you learn that? I never taught him to flip anybody off, and yet he's yelling, 'Flip him off!'" And I said, "Son, look, this is not the time." "No, Dad, you gotta flip him off now! Look, don't make him any madder. Sit back. Put your seatbelt on. We may die here." So, should you burn the Quran? Probably not. Probably not the best idea. Just makes them mad. If you don't mind getting chased all the time, that's okay. Burn the Quran. Am I going to show up? I can tell you I'm not showing up. You know? I want to make sure they don't have any of my addresses before I go and do something like that. You know, don't do that. What?
You think he put a pillowcase over
there? I don't think he's in the Ku Klux Klan.
He's there looking, and everybody can see what he is. He's not hiding.
I was joking. Oh, yeah. Listen, all that stuff is just hyper junk. It's grandstanding. You know what people are not brave enough to do? Stand up and preach. Go tell your friends. Yeah, go out in your neighbors and tell them, "Hey, you need a savior." That's a lot less fun. A lot more important. You understand? Nobody wants to do that. Everybody likes a church, good facility, good thing. Hey, you know what the work is? It's the work is your neighbors. And you gotta go tell them. It's not nice.
Offending them is not the easy way to win to the Lord either.
No. That's true. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. So, verse 13. "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." What made him chief? Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. You need to write that in your Bible. You're really smart, but you won't remember it. Huh? Matthew 12, verse 32. Now turn back to Matthew 12 while we're back there. And this is the thing I want you to see. I want to start in 33. Either make the tree good, and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil..." Now he's talking to all the religious people of the time. He's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He isn't calling them, "Oh, wonderful people. You most godly high people." That's not what he's saying. He's saying to the religious people, "You're a bunch of vipers. How can you say anything that's good?" And he was condemning their speech. A man tells me that he's good, doesn't believe the Bible. They weren't good in Genesis chapter 5 and 6. They weren't good in Ecclesiastes 7. And they're certainly not good in Romans chapter 3. You see, I mean, this is not a debatable issue. And all their religion, he tells them, we're nothing more than what? Filthy rags in Isaiah. And yet, here is it 600 years later, and guess what they're still thinking? That they're good. Man, if there's only one thing I can get out of your mind, you're not any good. It wasn't enough amens I heard about. 12.
Amen.
There was a couple in there who was skimping.
You're still right, Carl.
Huh?
Remember, you're still right, Carl.
No. I'm too young. Don't pull that on me again. No. What? You know it? You're the oldest young person I know. Now, you all understand what he's saying? Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye be evil, speak good things? Now, that's interesting, isn't it? What was fascinating about this is in Matthew 15, they come to him again. Matthew 15, go there. Hold on to Matthew chapter 12, we're going to turn back. I'm trying to get the point in that all the religious leaders of that time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they didn't have it. They weren't any good. And the people they were teaching wasn't any good. They just didn't realize they weren't any good. Verse 9. Matthew 15, verse 7. I'm going to preach my teeth out of here tonight. Verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. Notice their mouth, but their mouth can't produce anything good. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They can't say right things. They can't tell it like it is. You got it? They're fighting their flesh. They want to admit that they're not any good, but they can't, because if they do, they'll lose their superiority. And he says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, how did that happen? You could hear it out of the things they were saying. I mean, the debate in Matthew 15, you know what it is, don't you? There's a guy, a child that needed to be stoned to death. He was disobedient and rebellious. And you know what they did? They changed the rules. Said, hey, we won't kill the kid. If he'll give us a gift, we'll let him go. That's what the passage is about. So they just changed the Word of God to fit their religion, to make it mold. And that's exactly what everybody's been doing ever since that time. They've just been molding their words instead of preaching the Word. You know what the Bible said? It didn't say just preach your opinion about the Word. It didn't tell people how to live your life. It never told me how to live my life. You know what He told me to do? Preach the Word. What Word? The King James Bible. The thing you're supposed to believe is the book. Preach the book. You want your friends affected? Preach the Word. You know what they're not going to do? They're going to come back with philosophies and vain deceits and traditions and all that. Look at this back in Matthew 15. Verse 8 again. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You see that? Corrupt words. They're corrupt words. They're speaking of their own imagination. And you know what that looks like. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Go to Matthew 12, tuck your finger there, and go to Genesis 6. See, what people don't get in this Bible, you can't just have a little religious church. In Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 5. Condition same in Matthew. Keep that in mind. Condition same, Matthew. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, in Matthew, people thought those people were doing great by keeping the law and the commandments and all those things. But in sense, what they were doing was showing their lost condition and how deprived they'd come. They'd missed the whole point of everything that was written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know what? Churches are doing the same thing. The preachers get up in the pulpits and they preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When there's nothing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that would apply to you. Say, well, it doesn't matter. It's Bible. Really? And you wonder why I get so mad. frustrated at religion. Say, well, don't they do some good work? No. You know who's out doing the work? There's little Bible studies and classes all over America that's teaching people how to study their Bible. How many here has grown spiritually since they've been here?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You grow by the Word of God and getting it down and going, hey, I see it. I see it. I got it. You know what? Don't be ignorant. Listen, some of the things I'll tell you aren't right. You know why? I'm a man. Ask Brenda. Brenda, what am I? That's right. She knows. But the Word of God isn't human. You know, we talked about that a little bit Sunday, didn't we? And this book ain't human. This book is divine. I believe the King James is divine. I mean, there's a lot of people who say, well, I believe it contains the Word of God. No, 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 not here. I believe it is the Word of God. There's a lot of difference doctrinally in those statements. That's a huge difference. Well, it may contain some of the Word of God. Or no, no, not with me. Their imagination of their hearts was only what? Evil. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. It wasn't any difference. That's what's so funny is people striving today. I see them up in the church up in Kentucky, you know. And I know they get frustrated, but they're getting frustrated at lost people. They just make up their own rules. One of the girls said, you know, Barry, I just don't understand this whole thing with coverings. They used to wear coverings. And he said, I said, well, what do you mean? He said, she said, if it was really the will of God, we would all be wearing the exact same covering. Good point. You're learning. That's exactly right. These people in Matthew chapter 12, boys and girls, listen, let me tell you what. The reality is they were evil. And you know what? That's your condition. And if you get that in your mind, everything else is easy. Very hard to admit what you are, isn't it? I mean, I believe true spirituality is when you get to the point, you know what, I ain't worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell. And I thought about what made Brother Moore an effective preacher. All these other preachers thought they were hot shots, you know, big deals. When you realize you're a nobody, it makes a whole lot easier. I've been saved 27 years, but I thought, man, I could really preach. And then I realized, you know what? I'm not even a pimple on Brother Moore's bottom. You understand? I'm not even that. Someone said, you sound like Brother Moore. And I said, I wish I could be like Brother Moore, honestly. Because the reality is I'm not hiding from who I am anymore. I'm who I am. And he's not usually very good. Now watch. Are you all in Matthew 12? Good, I led you back there. Matthew 12, verse 34 again. O generations of vipers, how can ye being evil? Well, how many people are evil?
All.
Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, you need to put Genesis chapter 6 right there. Pretty clear. Amen? Now watch what he says in verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Well, how many can do that? Why? They're all none good. There's none good. You see, it's an impossibility to have them speak right things in the evil condition that they are. And so I've gone into churches and they'll use one little scripture, you know, and they'll start telling the sad stories. And they'll cry and they'll get everybody emotional in the thing. And it sounds like good words, but it pales in comparison to what's written in the King James Bible. Now, I can tell an emotional story as good as any. One time, you can ask Larry, we were at the Free Will Baptist Church on Perry Hill. And that guy left that book, and I read that story, and I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. It was a good story. And I just read it. But see, those aren't the good words he's talking about. He's not talking about philosophies. He's talking about the doctrine to get you to eternal life. And they couldn't tell him how to get there. In fact, look down here just a little bit, then I'll go show you. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. This I say unto you, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall be given account thereof in the day of judgment. You better be very cautious what you open your mouth and say. God's going to say, well, let's talk about that word you said. It's going to be your words. It's going to be your words. And that's going to be the thing that is very, very, it is the big deal. Now look at verse 37. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? You can hear if a person's saved or lost based upon what they say. Now listen to me very carefully. If you've gone along, and this is your life, and you say you got saved here, and you confessed one sin over here, what do I know about you? Yeah, you're not trusting the finished work of Calvary. I'm listening for the words. If a person pulls up a chair and says, let's have lunch, and in their lunch prayer, say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. What do you know about that person? You know that person's lost. Why are you confessing sins if you believe they're already paid for? Say, well, I want to get it straight with the Lord. Don't you want to get your... Listen, sins are gone. If you play or act or mess with sins, you're going to get back into the old me, I'm doing, look at what I'm doing. These guys were evil because they got the me religion, you know. Look at me. I show up. Hey, I'm showing up every time. Me. I give money. Which some of y'all, you know how that feels. Amen? You give a little money. I've had some people give money and it's like this. I'm not kidding you. Here, you have $1 for the church. You got to let go. What do you hang? You don't want to give the dollar, do you? You know you should, though. You know? Man, listen, let me tell you what. It isn't the giving that's going to... It's going to be your words. Look, I gave a dollar. Yeah, but you didn't want to. You hated it when you gave it. You were resentful when you gave it. Amen? If you don't want to give something, don't give it. You know what I mean? Your words are going to condemn you. You're going to think you've done something special. Oh, look at me, I gave a dollar. Hey, if you need some extra on Sunday, let me know. I'll give you some dollars. Dollars are easy to come by. Dollars aren't hard. Anybody can have lots of dollars. You want lots of dollars? I'll show you how to have lots of dollars. You know, it's just amazing to me. Dollars aren't a problem. Your conversation's a problem. What you say is a problem. What you say will either justify you or condemn you. It's the words. I listen to testimonies, and I hear people talk about their whole life. And about that, it's about a moment. Our words are condemning them the whole time they're speaking. Condemn these people. Condemn what they saw. They didn't get it. It is absolutely amazing to me. Out of the good treasure of the heart, bringing forth good things. Well, they could if they were good. But what were their condition? Look in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? There ain't anything that you... It ain't going to come out any other way until you get saved. then all of a sudden your conversation stops. I was going to take you to another place in Matthew, and that has now escaped my brain. So I might have... Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me think of where I was at in my mind. Well, come down just a little bit in the passage just before we leave here. Verse 43. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And he saith, I will return into my house. He's talking about demon possession of these people that have cleaned up their lives and whatever. And my house from whence I came out, which is the person. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and sweeps and garnishes it. You know what he's doing? That is a person that has repented of their sins and cleaned up their lives, and they're cleaning out their cupboards. Y'all understand? That's what that person is doing. He's tried to make it so that he's a good person, that he's better than someone else, that he's impressive to someone else, and on and on. He says, I came out whence he came in, and he findeth it empty, sweeps and garnishes. Now watch this. Then goeth he, and taketh with him seven spirits more, wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, this is a person. Let me give you a hint of this person, okay? He's tried to clean up his life. And you come to present the gospel that he's not any good, and what does he do to you? He gets all bowed up and mad, doesn't he? What do you mean I ain't any good? You got to be kidding. You're talking about me? I'm good. Hey, listen, I study my Bible every day. Ever learning, listen to me, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I went to church every Sunday. And they get bowed up and bowed out, and they're like a strong force inside that. You know why? He's keeping it clean. And so he's ready for the fight. And you come along and tell him that he's no good, that there's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that spirit inside of him just bows up and says, who in the hell are you talking about? And they're ready to fight. And you know why? Because of that right there. See, because their mom and daddy did it, and their great mom and daddy did it, and their great-great-great-grand... You know, my dad is a great-grandpa now. And so we've come up with a name. Gigi Paw, and then I stole it. I'm not like a great-grandpa. Gigi Paw. That's his nickname for the great-grandchildren. But I got some... Well, I got one. Curtis and Lisa had me a little baby Sullivan. And it's Gigi Paw. Grace Grandpa. They handed me that baby. It's been squealing for about 30 minutes. And I took that baby and I just held it in my hand. I said, come on. Just went right to sleep in my hands. She said, how did you do that? I'm Gigi Paw. It's the rule of the universe. Y'all understand that your conversation is everything? So I want to change my conversation. Well, you can. You can change it. These people got more, and the end of the man was worse. You know why? Now he thinks he's really good. He has really deceived himself into believing that. And then look at what he said. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Wow. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 7. Let me show you Paul, and I've been thinking about this a lot just because of what's going on up in Kentucky, and you realize it's happening everywhere. It's not just in Kentucky, boys and girls. It's everywhere, and it's in every denomination. It isn't a me picking against denomination. You know what it is? Me against religion. I'm not against anybody that's a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God, are you? Even if they don't understand it all, I can tell that they're saved. Had a person on the Facebook give me their testimony. I believe the person's saved. quacked out on doctrine, though. You got it? Little weirdo on doctrine, but, you know, if he's saved and he wants to hear it, maybe the Lord will open his mind. Go to Romans chapter 7. Verse 18, a verse I used Sunday, but I want to bring it back in. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? That's very hard. Have you ever heard a preacher say, I'm no good? They have got it under control. You ever notice that? Wait, you've seen lots of preachers, haven't you? Most of them controlling their life. You know what? They gave up the smoking. What? I think we ought to start smoking cigars in this and make it part of the church. Oh, I put that down, man. I'm a godly man of God. Really? You got to be kidding me. It would have been a little bit better with a chocolate flavoring in a martini, I think, but it's okay like it was.
It goes back to him smoking reefers when he was on drugs.
Yeah, that's this, brother. No, you can't afford a reefer this big, brother. You know, this is a rich man reefer. The little ones we had were called roaches.
Of course, he didn't inhale either.
That's right. I did inhale, actually. A lot of it. And, you know, I'm not saying it's good. And I don't recommend you going out and smoking dope and that. But you know what? I knew I wasn't any good. When the preacher preached at me, when I preached at my aunt, Buddy Ann, she got mad at me. Preached to Dad, he got mad at me. All the religious people get mad at me. Even people that are non-religious that think they're religious get mad at me. The ones that are saved, they love me. It's weird, isn't it? It's not any magical thing. Paul knew that, hey, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You know, he tells you not to put any confidence in the flesh. He tells you, you know, trust the Lord. I mean, he's trying to tell you in every way that you're just like the religious Pharisees of Matthew chapter 12. I know where it was I was going to go. I'm glad my mind kicked in gear. Hold on to Romans 7. We're coming back. Go to Matthew 23. Now listen to this very carefully. Promise? All right. Aren't you glad we have a little fellowship here? That you can wear shorts at and show your sexy legs off. I was talking about Alan. What were you showing your legs off? Matthew 23. Watch this. Someone says, I don't like your joking all the time. Hey, you got to take a break from this stuff. It gets a little deep at times. Amen? Verse 1, Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, now watch, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do what? You got it? A lot of people out there, oh, I want you to do this, 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 and this. And they themselves aren't even doing this, this, or this. I see it all the time. It makes me want to puke. Well, that's not the only thing that makes me want to puke. That's one of them. Verse 4. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. You know who that reminds me of? Cain. Doing the works of His hand. Listen, God's not impressed with the works of your hand. He's impressed with your authority to give Him the praise and glory and honor for saving you. Amen. What gives God the greatest honor isn't, oh, I got baptized. That's a work that men can be done and be seen of men. God's interested in you standing up and you say, you know what? I'm not any good. I wasn't any good in the first place. I haven't been any good. And the only thing great about me is I've got a Savior. Amen?
Amen.
That's pretty good preaching. I heard Mac preach his Wednesday sermon while I was gone. Did a fantastic job. You're never going to muster up the goodness. But that's what religion is telling you to do. It's just like going out, the demon leaves, comes back, brings seven of his buddies. Then you get this confidence that, man, I've really got it. And you wonder why? Because you're battling demons. I mean, guys, you would literally flip out who's really saved around you. You ain't got the guts to go find out who really is saved in your workforce. Take him to lunch one time. Let's take Amy to lunch. So, well, you may make her mad. I don't want to. I want her to have eternal life. But occasionally, it goes backwards. You got it? Say, well, why don't you get better at presenting? I'll never get my dad with Buddy Ann, my aunt. I made everyone cry at our house for about 5 years straight. He came out every Sunday, every weekend, drive back to Houston, Texas. And I don't mind being kicked out, I understand. He says, you don't need to make people cry. And so we went on this big 3-week trip out to Denver and preached out there and preached in Santa Monica and preached in Las Cruces and, you know, did the whole West Coast deal. And we had a good time. We were sitting there one night and we got to Buddy Ann's house and he started preaching to her and she stormed out of the room crying. And the point that I'm making with it, and I looked over him and I said this, I said, a lot harder than you think, isn't it? Because what you're swinging, guys, is a sword at demons. You got it? That's what you're actually doing. You're in a battle. And those demons will try to befriend you at first. You know, I want to be your friend. You're a sweet Christian friend. And churches do it all the time. Oh, we're so glad you're here. And really in the back of their mind, they're saying, I don't like that person at all. One of the things I can honestly say about this church is people say it's the least friendly. Praise the Lord. And it does one more thing than that. This pulpit has been used for 23 years to preach the gospel of Christ. Not pulling any punches, not trying to make you feel great, not trying to build you up, but bless God, trying to get you saved. We've had a few get saved. And you know what? It isn't me. It never has done anything with me. I could put any grace preacher, Jack Lockhart, Jerry Lockhart, Steve Atwood, any of those guys in this pulpit, and people would get saved. Because I know what the words are going to say. It's going to make a difference. If you ever in your mind believe that you had to confess your sins, you know what I know about you? You're lost. Say, well, I'm just trying to get it right. No, no, no. That's not how it plays with God. If you had any mind in your thought that you have to confess your sins to get forgiven, then you aren't forgiven now. That's a fact. You say, well, Brother Barry, you got to make this thing a little more lenient. These people right here just told people words. In fact, look what it says down in the thing. I love this. They work the thing. They like to be called rabbi, rabbi. And then come on down to verse 13, I think it is. Woe unto you, scribes. Now remember, what did he think about the scribes before in Matthew chapter 12? They're evil. He didn't say there was anything good about them. You know why? There is nothing good about them. But yet, that's what we're all striving to be, as these Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Christian Jesus followers that are perfect. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven, remember that's a land deal, against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Not only are they not going, but they're preventing everybody that was going to go in. You got it? Not only are they not going in, but the people they're talking to can't get in. Folks, there's a lot of people that get saved that thought they were good. I thought Mac's testimony on that was incredible, didn't you? It was fantastic. How could you miss that? Say, well, Brother Barry wasn't going to be there. I didn't want to show up. Oh, you'd have missed it. It isn't about Brother Barry. It isn't about the dynamics of speech. It's the truth that matters. Look what he says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 14, hypocrites, for you desire widows' houses for a pretense to make long prayer, for you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He really liked these people. I mean, people act like Jesus just love, love, love. Oh, let me get the wee little lamb. I love everybody. He's kind of feminine, you know, long hair. I love everybody. Peace. No way. See, they've got your image in your mind all corrupted. You know what the Bible says? Not to make any graven images. You want to know what he looks like? Anybody know what he looks like? The Song of Solomon. I think his fifth book. Talks about burly hair with charcoal eyes and milk sets. It was bronze, huh? I think so. It's in Genesis. I mean, Song of Solomon. You'll get it. No, look it. It describes them fine. It ain't the same Jesus that they got portrayed. See, what they're trying to do is change the image so you'll believe a lie. Look at what he says, verse 15. Watch this. This is unbelievable. And this is exactly what we're reading in Matthew chapter 12 about the demons. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass seas and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. He ain't telling these people they're going into heaven. He ain't telling them you've been religious and you've done all the sacrifice, you're going to get into heaven. They missed the whole point of it all. They were doing it and doing it and doing it. And what they should have seen in all those sacrifices is, I'm not any good. I need a Savior. I am so wicked and vile that I need a Savior. None of those people thought that. You need a Savior. You know what? You don't need religion. Let go of it all. You need a Savior. Go to Isaiah. This is exact. Hold on to here. We've got Romans 7, this, go to Isaiah 65. Go to Isaiah 65. Look, if you will, in verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Listen to what it said. These are a smoke in my nose, God says, a fire that burneth all the day long. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosoms, on and on the iniquities and stuff. God ain't playing that part. But that's how they act, don't they? Oh, don't come near to me. I'm holier than thou. You know what God said? That's a stench in my nostril. You know why? It takes the glory from him and put it on them. Look how good I am. Oh, I'm such a great Christian. You know what I found out about most of y'all? You're liars.
Amen, brother. I'm a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Cheating the thief. Just wanted you to know.
You got a list, brother?
If you look in Romans 1, we'll start there.
No, well, we'll let you. You got to save up something for your next message.
Well,
go back to Romans 7, though. But I understand, brother. This is herb tea. Not the stuff you think. Romans 7. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, what? Even preaching. You know what Ecclesiastes said about the preacher? Even the preacher is vain. There ain't anything good about the old man here. I don't want to be impressive to you. What I do want to impress upon you is the words in this book, the King James Bible. And so I was having I know where I saw Gary. Gary wrote me on the IM. That's why I couldn't find it. It just dawned on me where we were on Facebook. Tell me about how many PayPal. Put money in PayPal now. What was I going to do? What do they call it? Jerry wrote that. Pow Talk. And he just got done reading my sermons. Have you all read the sermons, Where We Go When We Die? I think there's 5. Is that it? Has any of you all looked at it? Some of y'all might have been here when I did the 5-part series. And you know what's really confusing to me? Is all the people that believe they go to heaven get it out of John 14. And nowhere and nohow were those people ever going to go to heaven. It was never their calling. They never anticipated. And I use Lazarus as an example. He didn't freak out when he saw all of his buds. He expected them all to be there. And the point that I'm making with you is that we just say words because our parents said words and our grandparents said words and we've heard it and it feels comfortable and therefore we say those words. We say them, we say them, we say them, we say them. And we never really get down to what the words mean. And he said if anybody would listen to that 5-part series, they would start to get it. And the more I look, even in the grace movement, we steal things that we heard in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as if it's active today. And it isn't. I wanted to get to the fact that Paul taught his words. He said, teach faithful men who can teach others also. And the idea that he was presenting was the words that he spoke in Romans through Philemon. And so that's my job, is to teach that so that you can go out and listen. You can't get it all just right here. I mean, you go to these conferences, you're going to get a lot more. That's why you're going to go at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And you too. You ain't got anything to go. Listen, the best thing you can do is fill up your spirit. Say, everything's happening bad for me. Might be just for the exact reason to go. I mean, listen, if everything bad happened to you and you say, well, I can't come to church because I'm feeling bad, guess what? Satan's going to keep you sick the whole time. He wants to keep you from the words. I love that song. Wonderful words of life. You know, we have those words. And those words are in your King James Bible in Romans through Philemon. Well, I wanted to use Matthew tonight just as an example to show you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the ones that were the very best. The ones that, if you looked at, you would say, they got it. The ones that were the leaders of the religious, they got it. And Christ basically said, you're evil. They never got it. They missed the whole point of it. You got it? So don't you be like them and think you got it. Go and get it. And then give it to somebody. You guys, listen, let me tell you what. This weekend will change your life. Change Stan's life, I know. I appreciate that testimony the other night, by the way.
Not just in life, it's your eternity.
You know, you kind of quit from your testimony to preaching up there last time.
And I said,
you all understand? It's all that matters. You give people that testimony out enough and enough and enough and talk to them about the gospel of Christ and why it's different and why you're no good. But if they think you're good, you know what? They're not going to believe you. And we got a bunch of guys up in Facebook, up in Kentucky, trying to war their old religious leaders. You know what? The reason they hate them is cutting them with the words. See, when Jesus was on that cross, you know, and there was the Roman soldiers and all the Jewish leaders, the high priest, they were all filled with demons. He looked down at them and he didn't see the people. He saw the bulls of Bashan. When you're talking to someone, you're probably not talking to him. Have you ever noticed this is the strangest thing? People don't even do anything religiously, and yet, buddy, when it comes down to talking to their religion, they're ready to offend. I said, you never study your Bible. My dad never studied his Bible at all. You got it? We went to church, we didn't study it. He'd come home and he'd have to find it for Sunday. In fact, we went to a church, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, that at church, we didn't take our Bibles. We just sat and listened. We took our church Bible to Sunday school, but then walked out to the car and dropped them. I always thought that was a little bit weird. Don't you think that's a little bit weird, Wade? And a little strange. Well, all I'm telling you is, folks, listen to me. This weekend is going to be incredible. You're going to hear words you wouldn't even believe you can hear. And God is going to open up His Word and give you something precious out of it that will change your life. It'll be awesome. Okay? I'm done.